I forget. Do I do the intro or you do the intro?
I don't know. You just start yelling at me usually.
Oh, that's usually how it works. Welcome to the console war room where Xbox is dead and so is PlayStation. I'm your host, Joseph. Alongside me, the Xbox Drive Zone, Mr. Sean Capri.
Oh, you say it with an extra emphasis on the wrong syllable. I see what you're doing.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? So, you know, you want to know how I know Xbox is dead?
How is it this time? How is it dead this time?
Because Kato left. Kato said,
damn, right where it hurts. Oh, no.
I don't want to even anything to do with this guy anymore because Xbox is dead.
Oh, that really does hurt, actually. Why did she do that?
She told me to say it.
Oh, dude, I can't handle it. It's all coming apart.
I know. At the seams.
Dude, did you see what I posted on the Twitter? No. Somebody tweeted. So we're announcing, you know, Kato's leaving and, you know, she's a quitter and all this stuff. Yeah. And somebody in the chat goes, why is Kato leaving? She's the only reason I listen to this podcast. Oof. I'm like, I'm right here, dude. Oof. Thanks, bro.
Awareness.
I know. Awareness. I know. It was hurtful and unnecessary.
And churlish.
And churlish. I mean, surely hundreds of people think that. But you don't have to say, you don't have to let me know. Like, I'm aware.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you leave now, then you're really going to be missing out on something special because we've got some good stuff coming.
And honestly, I feel like if I could be real and meta for a second and age this podcast at the same exact time.
Yeah.
I feel like the Try Guys stole your thunder. Can I just say that?
Who are the Try Guys?
Oh, you didn't see this? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. So Try Guys used to be a part of BuzzFeed. Then they broke off. They became giant on YouTube.
What's BuzzFeed?
I know, never heard of it.
Yeah.
And in fact, do you know what Google is? Or are you still on the AOL? So anyway, they became a huge channel. And one of the guys, like his whole shtick was like how much he was in love with his wife. Well, turns out that guy cheated on his wife.
See, that's Chelsea and I have this thing when it gets like kind of overt with the like the lovey-dovey on the internet. It's like, probably not gonna last. So bad.
If you're making it a brand, chances are it's fake. Yeah. So yeah. You know.
Yeah. So obviously I'm completely indifferent to my wife. That's how I prove how much I love her. Yep. Yeah. As she walks in, surely at any moment.
Hello, husband of whom I love.
Yes. Hello, fellow housemate. The mother of my children, co-parent to the little ones that live with us.
So then they kick the guy out.
So do you just want to like team up on Nintendo? Do you just want to like take a poop on Nintendo? Or are you liking, you're liking Splatoon? You actually.
No.
You don't even know what you're talking about already. Anymore.
I think it's already done.
You know what I'm, you know what
I have no urge to play it.
I'll tell you about an urge. I'll give you an urge.
Oh, okay.
I'll show you a grown up. Oh my God. Forza Horizon 5 is my game of the year 2021.
It came out last year though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I said 2021. Try to keep up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Math is hard. I know. But I'm still playing it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's real good. It's real pretty. Didn't have to be that pretty. But it is. Just like driving around Mexico. It's good stuff.
I played the Call of Duty beta.
You are the only one who doesn't like this Call of Duty beta.
I have complaints.
Yeah, you are the only one. Everybody else is saying this is the one. Call of Duty is back.
No one's saying that.
This is your Bayonetta. This is your people are saying it. This is your Bayonetta. You are being blinded by the fantasy critic.
No, honestly, it's gonna tops get an 83.
I mean, we're in the ballpark. I'm not peeved with an 83. I could see it going 86. I think
no
86.
Way is it getting an 86.
See, why is that? Like, this is maybe a meta conversation to have about it. Like, why is that so different? That's 3 100s.
Okay. So have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Mm-hmm.
The Call of Duty community is really frustrated with this Call of Duty because it is very good.
Yeah.
Like, what the core is there is really good.
Yeah.
But there are changes that they've made to it that make it awful. So one of the changes, and I don't know it verbatim, but they changed the minimap. So now the minimap doesn't really display when you're shooting a gun or when you're running around.
Making noise.
Making noise. So it's incentivizing camping. So nobody, everybody's afraid to run around and play Call of Duty. So everybody's finding camping spots and little choke points around the map.
Good. Bring the good old days back. That's what I say.
Exactly. So to kill people, whatever. Mm-hmm. Footsteps as well. Footsteps is one they're definitely going to.
They'll change it. I have no concerns. It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's
gonna
a mess.
Be good. It's gonna be great. It's not a mess. Then, when does this game come out? How many weeks do you have until you get destroyed by this game and you have like no faith in it at all?
What's it? Oh God, what's the perk? They took one of the Dead Silence where it takes away footprints.
Yeah.
They've made that a field perk, which sucks, by the way. But
you are splitting hairs. This is not. This is not how you. No. This is
when you activate
whatever. Okay, you say
when you activate it, it makes it emits a huge noise that everybody can hear, so they know when people are putting on Dead Silence.
Sounds like an 86 to me. If these are the things you need to pull out of your butthole,
also spawns are dreadful. I don't know who thought. Who thought that was a good, whatever they've done with spawning.
Have you seen the score lately? Have you seen the score? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Let me see.
Xbox Drive 182.
Yeah.
The poopy room 177. The
poopy room. Honestly, we'll jump back up.
We'll see.
They rounded you up because you were at
How's Hollow Knight coming along for you?
Just give it a few more weeks.
We dropped Oxenfree a couple weeks ago, just anticipating the delay, and then it got delayed. That's how in touch we are, Joe. Be afraid.
Yeah. Honestly, I am.
And I don't appreciate the nonsense on your show. I listen, by the way. I listen. Thanks for the free plugs. People check out my shows because you shit talk me, so I appreciate that.
I hope
it's
I
a thing. It's actually a thing. There's people who've been like, you know, I always listen to the Trophy Room, but I always heard Joe talk about this shithead Canadian Sean Capri. And so thanks for sending people over, man. There's no such thing as bad press.
That's right. Everybody in his little YouTube comments, call him a piece of shit.
we're not on YouTube.
Are you not on YouTube?
No, like right now. Like this isn't a YouTube show.
No, but I mean like, you know, people get it.
Yeah. You guys know what we're talking about. Oh my God. We played ourselves with this Top Gun thing. Damn it.
You guys really did. So like Call of Duty, I actually think out of all the games you have, that will probably rate the lowest.
Scorn, I'm most worried about. Honestly, Pentiment, I'm a little curious to see.
Pentiment
could be like a 90. Like, that's the thing, man. Like, the studio behind it, they could put out just like this crazy beast. Or
they could put out a
Bleeding Edge. Or it could be a 72. I guess that's just the way this goes.
Scorn, I'm hearing good things about. Which has me a little nervous because I honestly thought that was your weak link.
Dark horse, man.
So that it really much it looks like it. Yes. And Valkyrie Elysium. So it looks like that might be the super hit.
Yeah, that'll be Ryan's redemption story, I think, because I don't know if I see a different one. I don't know if he honestly has another redemption story here.
This better be. If it's not, where do you think Valkyrie is going to land for you guys?
I know so little about it, this dude. Like, it's like Valkyrie Elysium, Deal-Filled Chronicles, blah, blah, blah. I don't know which one's which. Like, I don't know anything about this game. It's just here.
It plays pretty damn good. It's a good ass video game.
Apparently, it's got a good demo. Like Ryan played all these demos, and yeah, he's happy with it. So, and we picked up Marvel's Midnight Suns. You sucker.
Yeah, so I'm really concerned with how the previews for Scorn and the previews for Valkyrie Elysium, because the previews are saying it's really good. Call of Duty again. I'm still here telling you
86.
It's not an 86. 82. If the campaign is great, it's an 83. But it is not.
Isn't that amazing though? Like that really is. Like I can't even fight you on that because you're right. Like. 82, 83, like this is where this is how close this is.
Yeah, because
it's going to come down to this.
Call of Duty, Cold War, and Vanguard are two of the lowest scoring. So
and I would agree, those aren't good games.
Mm-mm. And I think there's promise here for this Call of Duty, but already seeing all the hackers, already experiencing some
That's
little problems.
Listen, the people who review video games don't play them.
Oh, that's true.
So you don't have to worry about it.
So
they're going to go, still, this is a pretty shooty shoot game. 86.
Honestly, like if I took a look at our column, we have Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, which looks.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
Which looks great.
Yeah.
We got Plague Tale Requiem.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
That's going to be great.
That's going to be, like, I think, 87. I could see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then we have Callisto Protocol.
Delayed.
Okay.
Or rushed and totally buggy, and it's going to be, they'll fix it later.
Bayonetta 3.
65.
Honestly, if it is, I will fly over.
Like, I'm at, like, exactly 65, and people can go, they can scrub through all this stuff, and just, like, every single individual time, 65. Now,
here's the other thing that we got. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Tactics Ogre Reborn.
Dude, the fans and the reviewers of this are going to eat their own children.
Yeah.
They're going to devour themselves. They don't even know what they want. It's probably going to be good, but they're going to be so confused by this art style. It'll be 68.
And then have you seen this? Have you heard about this? We have God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah. Yeah. That's getting delayed too. That controller. Okay, now let's get into it. That controller sucks.
Oh,
sucks. It sucks. It sucks.
I think it's a fine looking controller.
It's fine at best.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
On a great day, maybe if you just wanted something other than what you've already had.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Xbox releases new controllers every fucking week because that's all they got to sell you.
I know, dude. It's funny. Well, I don't think that's necessarily the case now, depending on, like, the week you choose to say it. Yeah. But in the Xbox One era, it's like, oh, we've got, like, the Elite controller. And it's like, that really is it this summer or whatever that was. Like, that's not that good. Last week,
it was the Elite Core, controller.
Mm-hmm.
This week, it's the Mint Camo controller.
Yeah.
What do you think next week? What do you think the colors for your controller is next?
Halloween. I want a pumpkin spice controller. Just lick it. Cool. It's kind of like taste it. It's a scratch and taste.
Ooey gooey.
But it's activated by your hand sweat.
Oh. Oh, that's hot.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. So Xbox sucks. We got that off.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. Can I tell you something, Joe? Something that's on my mind?
Please.
Jim Ryan, and you, I don't even know if you're going to fight me on this. Jim Ryan is so out of his element because Phil Spencer's in there. They're battling away. They're just, like, you know, going at it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the lights go down.
Uh-huh.
The music starts.
Yeah.
And by God, it's Satya Nadella. Oh, my God. It's Satya Nadella. And he's like, he's in this wonderfully smart and gracious Indian man.
Oh,
okay. And he's just going to put a yoga pinch on your stupid Jim Ryan face.
Uh-huh.
Yoga flame to the Jim Ryan face. And he's like, if we want competition, let us have competition.
Said the $1 trillion company.
That has nothing to do with it. I just think, like, the minds at work here, like, you think Jim Ryan's probably a smart guy, you know, like, this is actually, like, my mind did think of it kind of like in a wrestling thing. Like, it's Jim Ryan, Phil Spencer, like, two minds just going at it. They're the top of their game. And then Satya Nadella comes in, who's the top of a $1 trillion company, to your point. Different level, man. This dude sees the Matrix. He is the one. There is no spoon to Satya Nadella.
Sure.
And these other people are just peons to him. He can see 40 moves beyond what Jim Ryan thinks.
Yeah.
So good luck. Where's Sony?
What?
Who's in charge of Sony? Sony.
Oh, I don't know. let me get his name.
It's Shuhei. We all know this. In charge of all of Sony, the TVs and the
Kenichiro Yoshida. There you go.
Where's he in all this? You know.
Satya
Nadella showed up. Where's the Kenichiro Sony shit? CEO? It just occurred to me that Satya Nadella is a brilliant, brilliant human being. And having him just give, like, 2 seconds of his energy to this whole console war that PlayStation wants to start because they just can't get over themselves.
Sure. PlayStation, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, just let them buy the thing. It's going to happen.
It is. I don't like it, but it is.
It's going to be fine. You're going to have Call of Duty. You don't even like Call of Duty. You think it's an 82.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Yeah, so there you go.
That's not a good day. It is.
So what are we even talking about here?
Maps.
Remember when all the platform heads were, like, on stage together at the Game Awards?
Thing.
That is never gonna happen again, dude.
And then, you know, Phil Spencer ruined it.
Did he?
Yeah. Here's the thing, real talk about the quote. I finally like that Microsoft's come out and had a definitive statement that they actually have intent of using this thing that they're buying. Like every time there's been a purchase to be made on Microsoft's behalf, like Phil Spencer comes out like with Bethesda, he's like, we're not in the business of taking games away from gamers. You know, that's not what we're about. We know that these games and their communities are very important to everybody. And then when they're like, okay, so like Elder Scrolls is still multi-platform, they give like all these non-committed answers.
Here's the thing. When a company puts out like a spreadsheet that would actually clarify a lot of this, people make fun of it. And what I hear when they say we're not taking games away is if it's already on a console, like the actual game, not the series, the game itself, it's not going to like suddenly disappear. That, like, I take it very literally. Like, that's what he said. I don't look to like the in between.
Here's the thing. It's not the goddamn Constitution. Like there's
Second
not like
Amendment.
Exactly. No, we literally meant bare arms.
The furry, like, bare arms.
Usually when a company buys another company, they literally speak their intent of what they're going to do with this company.
Really?
Yeah. And so when I think about, so like, for example, like Apple with Beats, their clear content was they want to get into the headset manufacturing business. Mm-hmm. They want to help use their tech to help Apple better, vice versa. And you saw that with like things like the AirPods, mm-hmm. right? So like, for me, it's just like, just say what you're going to do. So I like that Satya was just like, we're here to compete. We're the fourth largest gaming entity.
What if they genuinely don't know? I'd make decisions on a much smaller scale. Sometimes it's just like, maybe I'll figure it out when I get there.
80, your spendings are not 80. Altogether, you'd be spending almost $80 billion on these things, and you don't know what you're going to do with them? That's scary.
I don't know. Maybe there's probably like 70, five different options to this.
You're spending close to $70 billion. And you have no idea what you're going to do?
I think that we don't know the entire story of it. This whole notion that we just had this like 3-year deal unveiled. It's like, obviously, that's like one wrinkle in the mix that we don't know. So if I'm buying a company and I know that at the very least that there's 3 years or whatever else has been committed on top of that, like that's enough time to operate within to not know any further than that. And I think that's totally acceptable and totally reasonable.
Oh, are you talking about the deal with PlayStation?
Yeah, that Call of Duty will be on PlayStation until whatever year, 2025, and then maybe another couple years after that. Yeah. Like, to know that much, I think is a lot. And to speak to that, I think is great. To speak anything beyond that, I would say that's where I go, how would they know what they should be doing? Like, I think a lot of it shakes out, like a lot is changing day to day, even the way that, like, what is actually going to be approved? Are there going to be sanctions or anything? Like, again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. I've never done a $70 billion deal. So I don't condemn it as much because it's like, what do any of us know?
I mean, if I was a lawyer in that room, I would have an outline of, hey, like it's kind of like when you're buying a car. I'm not buying a car and knowing nothing about that car. God fucking forbid. Right, like I want to know about that car. I want to know its gas mileage. I want to know.
Sure, that analogy breaks down. But I mean, we'll go with it in that. Like, I don't know it after my 40th turn, left, right, straight. What am I doing at step 41? I don't know. I just know that that car has certain gas mileage. It has four wheels. It has power windows. Blah blah blah. That's they know. They buy Activision. They got all these studios. They have all these IPs. That's the car. But yeah. What are you going to do with that car? You don't necessarily know. You generally know that maybe you're going to, you'll drive and you'll go to work. Like they're going to have this thing and try to extract as much value out of it for the business as possible. And what that looks like could change in 4 years. And it could change after this is approved or not approved.
Oh, I see where you're coming at from. Yeah. In that regard, sure. But I would think you have a 5-year plan at the minimum.
But who do they owe it to? They don't owe anything to anyone to say what they're going to do with it.
I mean, you owe it to the regulators that are looking at this deal going, okay, so how is this going to affect the industry? Not a month after the deal or a year after the deal, but 5 to 10 years after this deal.
Why that number? Why not the three that's already been agreed to? I think that's reasonable. Hmm? You said 5 to 10 years. Why that number? Why 5 to 10? What's wrong with 3?
Because I think they want to look at the long-term impact of their IP being gone and seeing how that may affect the industry at large. That's what I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to Hogue say, yeah, I think, you know, on our good friend, Season Gaming, the big cast, he says like, yeah, no, like I could see them trying to work for, you know, an extension, but like to say like 10 years is no. To say, you know, an extra 3 or extra 5, maybe. So like that's what I'm trying to think of. It's just like, you're right. We're not lawyers and we speak out of our ass when it comes to these things, but I don't think you go into a $70 billion deal not knowing or at least having an idea or a roadmap what you're going to do with this company 3-5 years out.
I agree. I'm not suggesting that they have no idea. I think that they've got 5 different models for this thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They got some models of, you know,
this is what it looks like if it's like on every, like nothing changes. This is what it looks like if something changes at year 5 versus year 8. Like, I just don't think that they've chosen that yet. And I don't think that they owe anything to anyone on that front.
I think they definitely have a model that they're aiming towards and they have some backups.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I have no doubt.
To me, I do find Microsoft's approach alarming. I just do. Like, you know, we have the latest out of Giant Bomb. Jeff Grubb and Imran Khan were talking. Both of them had this, have heard murmurings that Microsoft's plan is not to buy developers. Their plan is to buy publishers.
Yeah. You think Ubisoft's up?
I think they were pointing to somewhere in Japan. And that's where I'm just like, come on. This sucks. Are we really just cheerleading one company to start buying all these publishers?
You've been cheerleading the exclusive title, so this is just a step above that.
Final Fantasy VII Remake is not Call of Duty.
It was before Call of Duty came into the picture. It was as big as it got.
When you think of Final Fantasy VII, where do you think of it?
Of course, PlayStation.
Right, PlayStation 1.
So why did that happen?
Because Nintendo treated Square like shit. PlayStation's like, hey, we have a better deal for you. And bam, they made Final Fantasy VII.
There you go. Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. It's just like different levers. It's the same outcome.
To me, it's like Call of Duty. I'm not thinking about it through a PlayStation versus Xbox thing.
Sure.
I'm thinking about it through a fan perspective. Call of Duty's been a staple multi-plat thing for decades. And all of a sudden, gone. I'm thinking about like, let's
all
just
of a sudden,
say,
you know, 3 years at least.
You got, but for the average consumer that does not know any of this. Yeah, now you have
that is amazing. Imagine just being like a normie, just like living their life, not knowing anything.
Going, what like, where the hell did Call of Duty go?
And also, did you know that they slammed a spaceship into an asteroid to knock it off its like path so that they could practice just for practice? Just not for even the game. Talking about practice.
They doomed Zeepsorp 9.
Just oh my practice. God. I'm telling you, dude, watch the video. It is fascinating.
But like, you know, when it comes to like something like, let's just say they go out and buy Sega. It's like, well, what's going to happen to Persona? What's going to happen to Sonic? All these games that have legacies on other platforms, what's going to happen to them?
Yeah.
Oh, just go out there, buy the different box. It's like, pretty much. Sucks.
Well, if the box doesn't matter, then just buy whatever box has the games on it. But you're kind of talking out both sides of your mouth there.
What do you mean?
You say, like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're just fighting over boxes. Like, whatever. Who cares?
To me, it's just like, as a PlayStation fan, like, I just see Microsoft going, well, we couldn't create something better than PlayStation, so we'll just buy everything around them.
There's no arguing that. There is like,
and that to me is disgusting. Oh, because wow. Just take a look about how take a look at where streaming services are now. Take a look at where like Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Spotify, Apple.
Disney Plus is doing pretty good.
And you take a look at the content that works and the content that doesn't work and the artists that constantly get screwed. And there was a really great interview on Friends Per Second. They were interviewing the Devolver Digital co-founder. And he's just like, yeah, no, the subscription model sucks. it sucks. And the only hope that we have right now is that the people in the positions of power in the gaming industry get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have faith that Xbox, their team, gets it. But the day that they bring on someone that is outside this industry, that's where things get alarming.
See, that's where probably the argument has the best teeth to it, is understanding that Phil Spencer is a mere mortal.
Yeah.
And will one day ride off into the sunset, and, you know, he's changed the direction of video games. He's made his mark. And then who knows if a Jim Ryan comes in after him and just, you know, the bean counter. So exactly. I will agree there. I will absolutely agree there. That's I don't think it's even too doomsday to say something like that. I think the notion of, and this goes on both sides, taking one individual developer's like opinion on streaming models as like the definitive statement on it's good or bad, I think is a mistake. And I think with just the more that we can collect these different stories. I
mean, you could see people like within the Xbox, you know, I guess ecosystem, like Adam Fries, right? With that interview on XEP where he goes, yeah, I don't know how they're making money on this thing. This, I don't know. Right. And them having a collective talk about it and then just agreeing to disagree.
Yeah.
Like, there are minds in this field, and there's a lot of publishers and developers behind closed doors that go, Game Pass is great right now, mm-hmm. but there will be a day when it's not that great.
And it's interesting, because I look back, I was a big fan.
For the creators.
I feel like Kyle is surely on the side of not Game Pass, as far as like, because he wants to buy physical games as much as possible. This is only expediting the whole thing of it. And I have to admit, like, when I think of, I don't think that the comparison directly to like Netflix and Disney, like, I don't think it's quite there. Like, it's not the same business model. It's not
one-to-one, because DLC and whatnot, but
you can DLC? Still buy the game as well. Like, that's, you know, that's, you're not, if you are, listen, let me think of an example. Like, you can still buy the game. You don't have to subscribe to Game Pass to play the game on Xbox, is what I'm trying to say. But for like a Netflix original, the only way to watch that is through the subscription. There's no other revenue stream for Netflix to take advantage of. And I think that's a key reason why they're in trouble there. I don't remember what I was going to say, though.
Yeah.
In addition to that,
I think Microsoft and like Game Pass's strength is like, yeah, games have DLC. Not every game has DLC. Everything. Go for it.
No, I miss going to the store. Like, and maybe I'm just an old man, and maybe whenever anybody says anything bad about a streaming service, you just sound like a service. You sound like an old man. I miss cultivating my Blu-ray collection or my DVD collection. And doing it my way and saying, I'm going to decide what's in my collection. Game Pass is a curated set of games. In some cases, it works out well. There's good games. There's games that I wouldn't have tried before or wouldn't have paid for. I think Metal Hellslinger is a good example. Yusaka Parking is a good example. And there's countless others. But I miss kind of like creating my own collection. And even as I'm talking this through, I guess I can still do that. I can still buy games in addition to whatever's on Game Pass. So like, really, what's the deal?
I think with the deal with me is, I just see, and this just comes through my personal perspective, one giant company starting to gobble up a whole part of the industry, and then just people cheering. And it's just like, what is this?
Yeah.
Well, it's very weird.
It's funny because it's been going on for so long that we've stopped asking that question. I remember when nothing was going right for Xbox, and Phil Spencer, you know, Game Pass was a thing, I think. Yeah. And Xbox One S was a thing, and it was, you know, things were looking good. And then he gets up on stage and goes, we bought Double Fine, and we bought the State of Decay people, and we bought Playground and all these other things. And I remember thinking, that's weird. And that's a long time ago. Yeah. So I've forgotten that was my reaction. So
and I'd much rather that. Them have that.
Just developers?
Just developers. Like, they talk a big game of, like, we need to bring people from around the globe. And it's like, well, there's Indian studios that can need your help. You know, there are people in Malaysia. There's developers in South Africa. There are these teams everywhere. Let's spotlight them. Let's throw the money their way. Mm. Why aren't we doing that?
I think Raji was on Game Pass. So I think of in the Indian developer.
Yeah, but I like to see more
that's the game. Yeah. I don't know how many there are.
Exactly.
So I think it's just a step at a time. I'm not sure like if that really equates on the PlayStation side. What are they trying to do besides charge you more for a VR that doesn't work with the other one that you just bought? I'm feeling real good about not buying the VR for PS4.
Oh, PSVR?
Yeah.
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 You know, I take a look at XDev.
Who's that? Oh, XDefiant? Or
No. XDev. Their team that goes out and scouts for, for example, Stellar Blade, right? South Korean team that is going to be an XDev game working with Sony Publishing. Same with Team Ninja over there. So like just going out there and working with these developers that could use the spotlight, that have a vision, that have something special.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate the idea that we're cheering on corporations that don't give a shit about us, constantly buying up things, taking away your choice for things. And we're just like, yeah, this is great. And it's like, it's great now. But just like you said, Sean, it's great for a year. Maybe if it's great for 3 years, maybe it's great for 4 years, but it's going to change. It's going to change because there's going to be a bean counter that comes in.
What would you have done if you were Phil Spencer?
Of what?
With Xbox. You're getting absolutely destroyed by PlayStation. You're trying to figure out like what's the future of Xbox. I know it's a big question, but it's like, and I agree with you, like it's weird to be cheering this on and it's going to take us in. It's really transforming games for potentially better and for worse. It's going to be different. It's going to be different.
Because what would you have done about like how, and I know I'm speaking like doom and gloom for Game Pass. It's great. It's the greatest deal in gaming, but like we also don't know its effects on how it's going to onboard gamers. Like some of the hardest things that devs have to think about is like, how are gamers going to, or how's this game going to hook the gamer in the first 10 minutes or the first 20 minutes, the first hour. Sometimes they're clinging on that first hour to really hook you. Maybe it's the first 3 hours, like a Cyberpunk, to really hook you. With Game Pass, it is a very, there's no harm in me just dropping it out to 15 minutes type of thing if I'm not vibing with it. But if I'm Phil, look, I'd be doing the same exact thing.
Yeah.
That's like I had to reinvent myself. The subscription service seems like it's the way in.
Yeah.
But at the same exact time, my first party titles are not going to necessarily drive people in droves to this service. And I need to go out there and make it a thing. Because I think when I look at what Microsoft's plan is, they know that other companies are trying. Like they know Amazon is trying. They know Apple is maybe gonna try, Google tried, that was cute, but like they know that there are other entities that want in on this and they want to make sure that they have such a footprint that those other companies just don't stand a chance, so that God forbid the day Apple decides to get into gaming, that Microsoft has such a stronghold here that they say, hey, the barrier to entry for you, Apple, is $80+ billion because you're going to need to buy publishers to get that that back catalog and the legacy on day one. And you can't just do it by saying, hey, we're here and we're Google Stadia and we have a few teams in the works. No, you need those exclusives.
And then they shut them down. Like that's the thing that I get a little bit like, there's almost like an acceptance that this is just the way that it is. And now we get into what are the potential options for anybody to take right now. And if Apple were to jump in and go like, let's give this cute gaming industry a shot, then they hire all these people and they pull them off of projects that they otherwise would be working with Sony or Xbox or whatever. And they go like, yeah, let's work with Apple for a little bit. And they give them a year and a half and then they shut down their studios. And then people like Amy Hennig or Jade Raymond or all these people like go 10 years without shipping a game.
Yeah.
Amy with EA. Yes. For a while. So like it's not exactly Apple, but I'm just saying like when it's not a guarantee that just because $80 billion is thrown at the wall that it's going to stick. And there's a cost to companies that aren't dedicated to gaming in the way that Microsoft is. There's a chance that would be catastrophic to the industry and would pull things away from things that we still want to have happen.
And that's why Microsoft bought Activision Blizzard, because they know that Call of Duty is one of the most popular brands in the world.
And also, like, don't you think, like,
the most recognizable IP in the world?
If so, I want to play a game. It doesn't, let's say it doesn't go through. Let's say so Jim Ryan has officially stopped it and Activision continues on being owned by however they're owned right now. I wonder, like, does anything get fixed on this culture front? Does it just go right back? Or was this purchase by Microsoft representative of an opportunity to escape all the stuff that we were talking about before? Like, it's interesting. We don't talk about that stuff anymore, by the way. Mm-hmm. When we say Activision, we think Xbox, we think acquisition and everything. But it was like a year ago that every time you brought up Activision, it was, what a terrible place. I can't believe they're getting away with this. Bobby Kotick, like all these
things. I still can't believe that he's getting away with it.
I'm not saying that he should and or anything like that. It's just the narrative has shifted quite a lot. Yep. Does it go back to that if this were to not happen? Yeah.
Yeah. And when Microsoft eventually terminates those QA jobs, it will come back.
Isn't that interesting, man?
Because that is the one quote that nobody's talking about. And it irks me that no one's talking about it, because, again, it's the fanboy bullshit that we just spent 20 minutes on that drives those clicks.
Yeah.
Is the quote out of, was it Matt Booty?
Matt Booty. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of like, hey, the next 5 years for QA are going to be crazy. We're going to just leave it all to the AI.
Yeah.
And it goes, oh, so that's why Microsoft is going to be open to working with this union, because they see in the long term, it won't be there for much longer anyway.
Yeah, dude, it's an enormous conversation about jobs like that.
Yeah,
$10, $15, $20 an hour jobs. It's why you go to McDonald's and touch a huge screen. You know, it's like, yeah, like increased minimum wage, and it's a touchy subject. People are very attached to minimum wage, and I don't even know where I land on it in terms of like raising it just arbitrarily. But one of the results of increasing minimum wage from $10 to $15 to $20 is you stop hiring people at $20 to do that job.
Your federal minimum wage is $10.
We don't have a federal. It's provincial. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, wow. Ours is $7.75.
That's probably, let's see. Alberta minimum wage.
Let's see how people live off of that.
Again, Alberta's minimum wage is $15. So it's pretty close. Like if you were to do the conversion. $7 is probably maybe $11 or something like that.
To me, it's just like, that's people's livelihoods. And so when I see these big acquisitions and I see all the quotes, it's those quotes that I'm like, ah, so that's your intention. So when we talk about, oh, the car, right? Mm-hmm. That car analogy, they know exactly where this fucking car is going in the next 5 years.
Mm.
Like, sure, the map isn't.
So totally take away, can you compartmentalize the people aspect and the jobs, and you think like the statement is objectively true that the QA process would be vastly improved by having 1,000 iterations of it overnight?
Because, you know, I've seen from multiple interview developers going, QA is essential. Like, this is not something you can just digitize.
And like, I'm not trying to get people fired. That's definitely not what I'm advocating for. No,
that's exactly what you're advocating.
But there's really interesting AI is fascinating, dude. And it is scary because it's like, it's fundamentally going to change. Like even more than like, we talk about like Game Pass and subscription services, like never mind any of that. Really, it is AI. I
mean, take a look at Darth Vader's voice is not going to be an AI.
Dude, that is wild. I mean, they've already done like the people, like the visual representation. Sure. Why not the voices? Like that's deep fake stuff. Like creeps me out. Like it actually, that's terrifying. That's, just because of how believable it is. But the whole like AI will diagnose cancer on a CT scan, like as good or better than the most experienced, you know, radiologist or oncologist. Like if it can do that, throw them a QA, man. Like what stuff is missed by people just because they're people?
I think it's the human call of it.
Yeah.
Like ideas that wouldn't have been thought up or
I'm with you on that. Problems
or solutions that could have been are suddenly become more, I guess, sterilized.
Yep, totally.
So I know that that comes from one of the Santa Monica devs as well. Talking about like Kratos's axe. So it's like those things get lost.
Yep. It's like why you have a pilot in a fighter jet and don't just put it on autopilot.
And then it gets to that bigger conversation, which is like, well, AI is just going to replace us all one day.
It's I know.
And that's what we're trying to stop right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no. No, it can't just be AI everything. There needs to be people.
I know. That is, I don't disagree with any of that. Because what I like about, like, you've done that twice now. Like, what I like about it is, like, you're really looking at the end result of this. Not just what's next, not what's, like, next year, 2 years. It's like, no, but really, like, where is this head? And I don't think that you're taking it in an unreasonable direction. That seems totally, yeah, that, like, because this whole, you can put an AI to, like, make a song. And, like, people are having trouble telling that's like, it's like a Turing test thing. Like we're actively experimenting in Turing tests.
It's getting really weird and very scary.
Yeah.
And so like, it's those, we get super philosophical about it, but like, that's the thing that worries me as we enter into this, a lot of it being unknown in uncharted waters.
So we should all just like stop playing games because it's funding AI development.
Pretty much. I think so.
Read a book.
Self-driving cars, I'm not trusting it.
That's the thing, man. I actually can't wait. That's like, I'm so torn on this. I want to get everybody off the steering wheel. Let the cars all drive themselves.
Nana,
they
can talk to each other
and say, I need to slow down. I'm going
to
take a turn up here. Yeah. Like, figure it out. Just network together. Drive the cars can drive themselves. I'm good with it.
Yeah. No, not me.
But at what point are we just all going to be plugged into the freaking metaverse anyways? Exactly. And take another layer deeper into this stupid simulation.
And that's the other thing. We talk about like plots and projections. The metaverse is a bet. A metaverse is saying, hey,
this is depressing. This is a depressing conversation, Joe. Thanks a lot.
Well, you can thank Xbox for trying to buy Activision Blizzard. And then like Koei Tecmo.
I just want to play Call of Duty.
Exactly.
Like none of this would have happened if you just did like crossplay out of the gates and like a normal person.
Listen, and now, okay, we talked about the Xbox perspective a lot.
Yeah. Because PlayStation's dead.
You're Jim Ryan, dude.
Yeah.
What would you do right now? Think about it. A few years ago, Phil Spencer's in a room. I need to save this company. We're about to get sold off to like fucking Toshiba or something. I need to make a sales pitch of my life that this is the way we're going to change games fundamentally. And I need your back on this. Where does Jim Ryan go? Because right now, look, PlayStation is technically number one or really number two grand scheme of things. Where do they go? How do you convince the board of, hey, listen, Microsoft's buying a whole lot of shit. We need to secure something.
Yeah,
because it's getting scary out there.
I think like there's a couple things that you can look at it. One is, do you try to play the exact same game? And I don't think that that's possible. Like there's no way to scale that.
Yeah, $1 trillion company just called your bet. They want to compete. You're not competing with them.
Yeah, well, and the whole, this is where the Satya Nadella's comment comes in. Like PlayStation is still number one. Like we keep forgetting this. Like they're still in a really strong position. And this whole Microsoft is behind games like 100%. It's like, well, we'll find out. Like $80 billion is good, but like the whole conversation around it was that it didn't really represent a huge dent. Like it didn't really impact their balance sheet, you know? Like it did, but it didn't, which is shocking. But when the operation costs of annual development of all of these different studios start to like hit, and are they offset by revenue of streaming and purchases and everything that we've talked about? Like, does it work out? I guess we'll see. And that's kind of where I'm at, maybe on a more conservative side with PlayStation is, can you hold out? Can you focus on what your strengths are? But what I'm seeing from PlayStation is that's actually not what they're doing at all. Is they're not doing an $80 billion purchase. They can't do that, but they are investing in a different way with like what 47 live service games, whatever the number is. Like
yeah, 38.
So they are veering outside of their wheelhouse and the thing that's made them successful so far, which I would say if I was Jim Ryan, I don't know that I would do that, but maybe that's too conservative in a land where you need to be thinking forward.
I'm doing that.
You're doing live service?
Oh yeah.
Are you?
Absolutely. I am. I'm Jim Ryan and I've never let this company down.
I feel like it's a similar risk. Like it's just like relative to the size of the company, like Xbox and Microsoft buying an $80 billion thing and Sony, a much smaller company, investing very heavily into live services. Like the risk reward, I think, is fairly similar. Like Xbox could stand to win a lot more, but man, it's costing an $80 billion gamble.
So when it comes to PlayStation side, they're investing in 10 live service games, the scale of which we don't know. Each live service game, there's one that's like a mobile game. There's The Last of Us one that's going to probably be good. I don't know. You got Twisted Metal that hasn't been announced yet. But like you have multiple things in the works. And Sony's saying, we want one or two of these to be a big success.
But so is Ubisoft. And I think that's a problem. Now, Ubisoft and Sony might not have the exact same like quality for what is going to be released, and time will tell on that. But and I've heard this notion, this math before of you take 10 bets and hopefully one or two of them hit. And that is true, but PlayStation in their game studios is tied inherently to the platform, to the console itself. And so every time, it's just like what Xbox has been dealing with, especially in the Xbox One era, where every time you had like a Rise, which was like a 7, you know, you have a Quantum Break, which wasn't blowing anybody's hair off. You had Halo doing what it was doing. You had confusing thoughts on the Gears franchise. Everything that hit Xbox was like not great. And every time that it was, or at least that's what everybody was saying, every time you had something that wasn't God of War, The Last of Us, Uncharted, Xbox, the platform and the console took a hit. So I'm wondering, like, that's the risk that Sony is facing on this. And I don't know if that's been part of anybody's calculus.
It's been a risk, but I think that's why you go out there and buy Bungie. You solve problems that you know you're going to have.
I agree.
By partnering with folks that have done it before, that's made those mistakes and then some, that are going to help your other studios. Because, like, look, we could talk about the live service element. That's where Microsoft's going. Like, most of their games, first-party games, are going to have some type of live service element to them because they need to pay for that Game Pass.
For sure.
Right? Yep. And we can see it with Halo. The big problem with Halo is the lack of content.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lack of...
And that's where roadmap. I think PlayStation might be able to hold out a little bit because they can see Xbox maybe flounder a little bit.
Well, and they're seeing a lot of people flounder and they go, okay, so let's make a purchase that is going to help us there.
Again, Insomniac saves the day on all this.
Insomniac is amazing. Sony has the Corvette of game developers. They have the best developers in the world and people that are dying to go out there and, you know, apply to Naughty Dog, apply to, you know, Insomniac or what have you. They're getting the best of the best talent. Now they're going, okay, Naughty Dog, expand your studio, expand your teams, put a multiplayer team in there while you're working on whatever, you know, Neil's working on.
It screams, we call it live service games as a service now, but it screams of the PS3 360 days where it's like, throw a multiplayer mode on BioShock.
That's exactly what this is. In the here and now.
Right.
But
hopefully we're better at it now, but man, that sucked back then.
And that's the hope. It's like, hopefully y'all are better at it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all are. Like, Naughty Dog is incredible.
I can't wait for Factions, dude. Like, I'm stoked about it.
Yeah. Factions, like, we love that multiplayer. Now expand it into this Tarkov situation.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Twisted Metal, let's see.
Yeah.
like, let's really see.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you lost Call of Duty. Why can't you make a SOCOM? Why can't you? There is a vast nothingness of just third person, you know, military shooters. Go out there.
How much do you think they've invested in VR?
A lot.
Like billions.
Yeah.
Like when you think about opportunity cost, man. Like I look at VR. Like we've been talking about live games as a service and stuff, but like VR is it's similar to, and I don't know, maybe I'll ask you, like, how similar to it is mobile or handheld, I should say, like Vita.
So
does it pay off as good?
When I don't know.
They shift, like they jumped out of a different, they jumped out of one car into another car.
Right.
And it's like, man, maybe if you just stuck with that car, like one more lap, like, could you be with where Nintendo is with Switch?
VR? No, I don't think they're ever going to go. I think they see VR as a great opportunity. But like, you don't have the productivity side yet, as what we know, for that headset. Like, the reason why people love like the Rift and the Index is like, you can use that thing on a PC and literally direct shots, create scenes.
That's crazy.
In like cinema and stuff like that. So like, it's used in other industries. How is PlayStation VR? Am I seeing it on a virtual, you know, surgeon table? I don't think so. Who knows? Crazier things have happened. You know, military's bought a whole bunch of PS2s back in the day just to rig them up to compute shit. So who knows? But to me, that's the big question is, like, no doubt, you know, your games are going to be great. You know, whatever Fire Sprite's working on, again,
yeah, stuff.
But how long are you going to really stick with it?
That's what I'm wondering.
How long are you going to let indies push this thing forward? Those are my questions when it comes to VR. To me, I as much as I love PlayStation VR and I love VR in general.
Would you drop it?
I would.
Yeah.
I would say, hey, listen, there's this avenue right here that we need to defend because, man, we got a really hungry competitor.
That's the thing, man. Like, they kind of went in on it. Obviously, it's coming. It's still coming out and it's at the forefront of our minds now. But like, they've been working on it for years since the first one. Like, the investment is done. Their chips are in. They're pot committed to this thing. And yeah, like, a lot has changed in 2 years, 3 years.
A lot. And so when I take a look at like VR, like the way it's been explained to me, I'm like, okay, that's why PlayStation VR is not compatible with
PS. And that's fine. I'm being facetious about that. Like,
but like, it's those things. It's like, yeah, no, you know what? I walked in going, yeah, this is the PS1. They're going to make mistakes. Guess what? They made some fucking mistakes.
Yeah.
And now PSVR 2 is this refined beast that it seems like they have a genuine roadmap where they want this thing to be. Yeah. And it is more than just 5 million units sold. So if I was Jim Ryan, I would also kind of be doing what he's doing right now.
You kind of have your three pillars, really. It's classic Sony. You got your VR and you got your games as a service. Mobile. Yeah. See, that's like, that's not very focused.
Here's the thing. We shoo mobile a lot, but it makes so much dumb money.
That's the other thing. Like, everybody's talking about Call of Duty with this deal. And it's like, what about Candy Crush, dude?
Mm-hmm.
Candy Crush is unbelievable. But yeah,
it's unstoppable.
Yeah, that's why I always take a little bit of the coverage and even our own discussion on like the acquisition with a bit of a grain of salt, because like, we're not being comprehensive with this. Like, the Blizzard stuff is also massive. Call of Duty is just a thing that people know. Like, Blizzard, like Diablo, the Warcraft properties, like, dude. And so to get back to like the why do we cheer for things, I think that there's a belief that when a company like Xbox or Microsoft buys something with all the IP in Activision's catalog, that maybe, just maybe, some of those wonderful IP will come back to life in some way with the added resources and joining the family of other developers or whatever. Maybe it makes sense in a different mix of Xbox game studios and
You give Halo to Treyarch.
Well, dude, and any of that stuff too, like whether it's Halo Prime or spinoffs or whatever you want. I don't think that's going to happen, by the way, but
I like what Ains said on Cast Co-op, I think a month back. It's like, look what happens when you have 9 studios, over 1,000 people making a Call of Duty versus a few hundred that Halo have. It's like, you're going to be launching with this synced mobile, console, and battle royale.
Yeah.
And they're all doing really crazy shit. Like,
yeah,
don't get me wrong, I love Toys for Bob. I'd be very surprised they work on another thing that is not Call of Duty. Like, all these studios that are supporting Call of Duty, I think are going to be remaining to Call of Duty for a very
interesting very long time. See, that's assuming, I can't remember if we've talked about this, like, do you think Call of Duty is, I think they've already said it's not going to be annualized.
they're thinking about unannualizing it.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that that changes the resources on it. Possibly. I'm not sure. I don't know anything about making games, but if you don't need a Call of Duty every single year, part of my brain thinks that maybe you could peel off, you know, what was it? Neversoft? Yeah. Who else have they attached to this stuff?
I mean, perhaps that could be it, but I still like, I look at Fortnite and you're like, you're still competing against those type of games that have, again, thousands of people curating content. It's not like, oh, well, we're not making a story, whatever, a single player thing, so we can now throw those at other projects. Like, no, you need to now throw them at making this thing have a big event every 3 to 4 months.
You know what I want to talk about next time? Next month we need to talk about. I want to know about this PlayStation PC launcher thing. Because part of me thinks about, like, Steam just has this stranglehold on stores. And it's probably even silly to bring up. But, like, how did that even happen, dude? Like, they just basically decided that they're going to be the ones to sell PC games and it's going to be the best and nobody can do it any better. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And I'll remind people back in the day when Facebook was, like, the thing. Like, we all went, well, they're going to be it forever. And everybody was like, don't you remember, like, MySpace? Like, that was the cheese a second ago. And it got toppled. It got, say something dirty. I was going to say something dirty. So is Steam inevitable? I guess is my question. And it to your earlier point, what should PlayStation do? Like, the fact that Microsoft hasn't figured this out, and even Epic itself, like, I think has a lot of resources. I cannot believe that Steam continues to just be what it is. Well, and I'm not sure what it is about it.
I think that's what Microsoft wants Game Pass to be. It's like, well, this thing's everywhere. Like,
right.
Sorry.
Yeah, like, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want such a stronghold and a stranglehold on this whatever it is that nobody could even touch it.
But do you think, like, I mean, I guess we're just jumping into it anyways, too. Go like,
please, let's do it.
You have Apple and Android. Like, I wonder if, like, I still think that there's going to be two or three. I think that that's going to be the future no matter what. But it's just which ones, I guess, is the scary part.
The sad future is I see it as, and this is where I become very dystopian, Sean. At the end of the day, it's only five companies. Like, it really just, it's going to be Microsoft, Apple, Google, Amazon, Facebook will be something. And that's it.
Taco Bell.
And Taco Bell. Because, like,
God willing.
Real talk, everybody. I'm going to be very nervous.
Oh, my gosh.
Do I see Sony walking out of this not bought by someone? No. They're getting bought by someone. They've maneuvered incredibly well. And they're doing well in a lot of areas, for sure. But, I don't. In the current climate where just I see more and more hardware and just tech fields merge into just these giant entities, I don't see Sony being not acquired.
That's crazy, man.
It is what it is, I guess. But again, I think Microsoft's olive branch to them is, hey, listen, we'll buy you a few more years with the games that matter to you. Mm-hmm. While you figure it out.
Yeah.
That's our olive branch. We had to figure it out. We were lost in the woods. You'll be lost in the woods too, but you'll figure it out. And again, I think Sony's strength is that they have some of the best developers in the world making some of the best games in this industry.
You're just going to be mad that you're going to be playing all your favorite PlayStation games with full back compatibility and smart delivery and everything on an Xbox.
Exactly. I hate it. That sucks.
Fine.
It sucks.
Who cares what you call it? The games, they're all in the same place.
It sucks. And then your subscription price is like $40 a month, and you're like, oh, this is great.
I know, right?
Like, that's what it's gonna eventually be. Like, everybody's like this $15 is not lasting.
Mm-hmm. How long do you give it?
Till they have goodwill to burn.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, 2023 is going to be interesting, man. But I know we've been saying that.
What's that Call of Duty up?
Yeah.
Even with inflation, too, it's like, yeah, this is, I don't know.
All right. Well, we solved all the world's problems.
No, we just made everybody self-doubt and be very nihilistic.
Yeah, try to be happier next time. All right. Something.
No, man, it's 11 o'clock.
This whole like the Jim Ryan energy is like is rubbing off on the PlayStation podcast. It's like, oh, we're done. We're not any good. It's like you're in first place, you idiots.
Can I just speak my mind for just a gosh damn
minute? Well, make it quick. I gotta go to the bathroom.
Okay, cool. And I gotta go to sleep, and then take a shit on your mom.
What did she? You know what?
That's right. Fuck you. I hate you.
Damn. That's no. So mean. So stinky.
It's because I think our leadership. It doesn't talk to us like it used to.
Yeah.
It's kind of harshing our vibe because you're right. Look, there is no game that Microsoft has had or shown to me ever that is anything around the levels of Ragnarok.
Grounded just came out of early access today. Exactly. Joe, have you played it?
So like Spiders? We have some of the best games we've ever gotten.
Yeah.
Why are we self-doubting?
Well, I know. Because
we're seeing Microsoft being very aggressive and we're just seeing Sony very quiet, and that gets us nervous because it's like, hey, do you have a plan? And it's just crickets.
Yeah, the crazy thing is that they don't even have Call of Duty yet, and the sales are already starting to even out a little bit.
Oh yeah,
I think so. I think we've seen some of that stuff. You know, it's a couple wins in Japan and things like that. They're not even. I think PlayStation's still doing what it's doing. But they haven't had that. They've been had. Look, you look at, man, this is I got to go to the bathroom. We'll talk about it next time. Doesn't okay. matter. All right.
Xbox sucks. PlayStation's dead. I don't know.
The end.
I'm depressed. I need help.
Damn.
This is a cry for help. Everybody have a nice one.